So we're going to be in week two of our series, Call Me Out. Call Me Out. We're in week two. If you missed it, you can go back and find it on YouTube or Facebook and places. But the sermon title today, Hadley Watson, has got us another title today, and it's called, Who? Me? You know what I'm saying? You ever had that? Like, who are you talking to? Me? Call Me Out, week two. So I want us to go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 11. And as you turn there, I want to give you a little history of what's happening. Israel right now is just getting beaten up. They're not doing well. Other nations and countries are coming in and running them over, taking from the land. It's a bit of despair going on. It's not a good situation for Israel right now when we find them in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Well, that's interesting, because Gideon right now is found hiding. He's down in a wine press trying to avoid what we're told, letting the Midianites have anything. If you go read the first 10 verses of Judges chapter 6, we're told when the Midianites show up, they take everything. If you got livestock, it's gone. If you got crops, it's gone. If you got any wealth, it's gone. The Midianites, they show up and they just take everything. They were told they're so numerous you can't count them. You don't know how to deal with them. And so this is why we find Gideon doing what most of us would do at this point and go, well, I don't like losing everything. That's unpleasant. I don't enjoy that. So I'm going to hide. I'm going to keep what I work for. These Midianites can go find themselves a job and they can stop taking from me. And so he's down there hiding. And then the angel of the Lord says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And this is the moment where Gideon turns around and he goes, who? Me? Like Gideon is probably thinking, if I was a mighty warrior, I would have done something about this already. But I counted up their troops. They're way more than me. I can't do anything about it. So I've accepted my circumstances. And so I'm going to be down here in a wine press hiding. And so when he's told, the Lord's with you, mighty warrior, that had to be perplexing. Because he's thinking, if I could do anything about it, I wouldn't be hiding. But here we are. And so now we're starting to see that there's maybe a difference in how God sees Gideon and how Gideon sees himself. And so as you're listening today, whether you're in a movie theater in Hiawassee or you're online or you're here in a gym at a Christian school in Morganton, have you ever stopped to ponder the idea that maybe how you see yourself is not who God knows you to be? How you see yourself is maybe not who God knows you to be. When the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon, he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And as we go through this text, we're going to see Gideon is not on board with that. Gideon does not place his identity in that. He doesn't see that. But he says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. I wonder how many times that we don't really go forth in life in what God has given us. I think it's entirely possible for us to have things that God has put inside of us that we are not aware of at all. I don't think Gideon ever once in his entire life has thought of himself as a mighty warrior. But an angel of the Lord shows up and tells him, that's inside of you, Gideon. It's already there. Look at how it said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. It didn't say he'll become a mighty warrior. He already is. That's an interesting thing to me, because I think when we look at ourselves, a lot of times we try to go, I don't really see myself as a great father or mother. I don't really see myself as someone who can be successful in business. I don't really see myself as someone who can influence the world around me. I don't see myself as that. But is that what God knows us to be? You see, I think there's this gap that exists between who we see ourselves as and who God knows us to be. And in between those two things, there's this gap that exists in our life, and it's filled with fear and with doubt. The angel of the Lord shows up. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Verse 13, though. Pardon me, my Lord. I'm like, Gideon, that's right, brother. He's like, pardon me, my brother. You know, I hear what you're saying, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us, and he's given us into the hand of Midian. And if we're honest with ourselves, is this not some of the questions we would ask? Is this not some of the questions you find yourself asking today? God, if you're really so powerful, why are some of the things happening in the world that are happening right now? God, if you're really so powerful, why is it some of the things that are happening in my life that are happening? If you really can perform miracles, if you really can perform wonders, if you've got all this strength, might, and power, why is life happening the way that it is? Maybe you've never asked those questions. I have. I've asked questions like that. I can relate to Gideon of like, you show up and you seem to have an idea of how things should be going, God, but I don't see them going that way. I don't see it playing out like that. I read in the Bible about all the things that you can do, but life's not shaking out that way. I look around the world and it seems that you don't have any power or might to do anything differently. Where are you at? I think Gideon's asking questions that all of us probably would be asking in this moment when God shows up and says, you're a mighty warrior. You're going to be able to do something against these Midianites who are just decimating everybody. And Gideon's like, we would have already done something if we could. We can't do anything. Who are we to try to stand up to the Midianites? Where are these wonders and miracles that we've heard about? But I think his answer also reveal something interesting about Gideon. I sense frustration in him. I sense frustration in Gideon. When the angel shows up and says, you're a mighty warrior, and he goes off about how God's not doing anything, God's not moving, no miracles are happening, they're being decimated by the enemies. I sense this frustration in Gideon if he's saying all this because, God, if we could do something, we would have. If I didn't have to be down in a wine press, I wouldn't be. If I could be a mighty warrior, I'd step up and do something. But Israel, we've got nothing. We haven't been able to stand up to these people, and I'm frustrated, God. I would do something if I could. But I can't because I'm not a mighty warrior, and we're not a mighty people right now. Look at verse 14, though. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? It's interesting that the angel of the Lord doubles down. He says, go in the strength that you have. He doesn't say, go in the strength that I'm going to give you. Go in the strength that you'll acquire on your journey. Don't go in the strength that you might possess if you do a certain things right over time. He says, go in the strength you have, mighty warrior. And it's this argument I'm trying to make that God, as the creator of the universe, who's made you and I, has put things inside of us that we don't even know. He's put things inside of us that when he shows up in moments like this to call it out of us, it can seem so unplausible, unfathomable. That when God shows up to call something out of us, our first reaction to it a lot of times is, you got the wrong person. That surely can't be me. I've lived enough life that what you're asking out of me, I don't possess. It's not there. I've never seen it before. And some of you guys who have lived a little bit longer, you might understand this temptation. You start acquiring enough life experience that it's hard for you to understand that there could be a change in the pattern. You live enough life where you start to go, surely God can't do something new in me. I know myself. I know what I'm good at and what I'm not. I've lived enough life. Surely God can't do something new out of me. I'm here to inform you, you're at the wrong church. Because at this church, at Vertical, we don't believe that people eventually hit their ceiling. We believe God can keep doing something new in your life, whether you're 75 or 17. And so Gideon tries to go, no, I can't be it. And then the angel of the Lord doubles down and says, go in the strength you already have. How does the angel know that he has the strength if Gideon's telling him he doesn't? It's because God is the one who knows it's there. There's this difference in how we see ourselves and who God knows we are. God, who has created us, has put things inside of us to call them out of us. You see, I think there's this phrase that goes around a lot, and I think sometimes we have a temptation to roll our eyes. We have a temptation to go, that's dumb. We hear people say things like, I need to go find myself. Right? You heard people say something along those lines, I need to go find myself. I need to discover who I am. And the temptation is to roll our eyes or think, what a dumb question. I'm actually here to tell you, I think that's one of the best questions you can ask in life. I think it's one of the best questions you can ask. Because it admits that there's things inside of you that you don't know are there. I think it's a biblical question. I think a lot of times we just look in the wrong places. I think a lot of times people are asking the right question when they say, I need to find out who I am. But they just go look in all the wrong places. You see, that question, I need to find out who I am, only has one source to help answer that question, and it's the one who created you. The one who created you is the one who can look inside of you and go, these are the things I put inside of you to call out of you. I know there's things inside of you. I know who you are. I'm the one who created you. I gave you purpose and calling and gifts. I'm the one who can call them out of you. And so as we go on this journey to discover him, it should happen. You should want to go, what has God put inside of me? Because there's things right now, whether you're 87 or 13, it doesn't matter. There's things inside of you that God only knows is there, and he wants to call them out of you. And see, I think sometimes when we go, well, this is Gideon. He's back in the Bible times. He's in the Old Testament. He's got an angel showing up. There's only a couple people where that happens to them. There's a couple select people, and they're special. And there's a couple special people who they have gifts and they have talents and God will call them out of them. I don't buy that. I don't see that anywhere in the New Testament where God selects a couple people and they're going to be special and then all the rest of us just kind of exist. If you go read the New Testament, you're not going to find that verbiage. You're not going to find those verses. We talked about it last week, right? Ephesians chapter 2. I'm skipping ahead, but I want us to read that verse. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If we go read that verse doesn't seem to be talking about a select single few people. It says us. And see here, now as we start going through this material, it starts asking a question now. If it is possible that there's some things inside of us, that God's prepared in advance for us to do. If there's things inside of us that God wants to call out, well, see, then we can't place the blame on God if things aren't happening in our life. And I think sometimes this is why we avoid these questions, is because if we go down this theological trail that if God's put things inside of us that he's calling out of us, that he wants to use us for his glory, if my life does have significance, if it does have purpose, then there's some onus on us to be open to being called out. And see, I think that's where some of us truly wrestle with it. If we have personal responsibility in this, of being willing to respond when God calls things out of us. Because I think if we're honest, we can relate to getting this moment when God tries to call things out of us, there's a fear, there's a doubt. Surely not me. I can't be this person. Look how he responds. Verse 15. Pardon me, my Lord. Again, Gideon seems like he's the most perfectly pleasant guy. Trying to just be respectful as all get out. His parents very proud of Gideon, his manners before the angel of the Lord. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. Gideon lays out his case. You've got the wrong guy. Gideon also reveals in these verses how he sees himself. Gideon probably has thought about maybe trying to save Israel before, but see, how he sees himself is, I'm in the smallest tribe, I'm the least of my family, I can't do anything, so I'm just going to accept my fate and fortune and who I am, and I'm going to find myself in a wine press. Some of these thoughts have probably gone through his mind. If I can't be the guy, somebody else must step up. I'm from the least tribe, I'm the least of my family, I can't be the guy to do anything. That's how he sees himself. In all honesty, how do you see yourself right now? If God called you to do something, what's your excuse? See, at this church, we're looking to raise up leaders. And we keep going over this, but I'm never going to give up on this because this is our mission. We believe God wants to work in and through your life to influence the world around you. We believe when you get saved, Holy Spirit comes into your life. And if Holy Spirit is in your life, you absolutely can be used to influence the world around you. The Spirit of God is not incapable of working. And if you have Holy Spirit inside of you, you can influence the world around you, which makes you a leader. And that's why we keep going after these ideas that how we see ourselves is so important, because many times how we see ourselves is not the person God knows us to be. Many times how we see ourselves is not who God is calling us to be. How we see ourselves so many times is not who God knows he created us to be. He says, I'm the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. He reveals, God, that's how I see myself, and I hear how you see me, and there's this gap. There's this gap of fear. There's this gap of doubt. I don't think you're the guy. I don't think I'm the guy that you think I am. Look at verse 16. But the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Those are some heavy words. He starts off by just saying, you're a mighty warrior. There's the strength inside of you. And now the angel of the Lord says, oh, by the way, you're going to strike down all the Midianites, who we said were more numerous than we could count, who were more powerful than Israel's never stopped them before. They've never been able to stand up to these people. These people come through and they wipe everything out. And then the angel of the Lord tells him, and you're going to be used, yeah, you, the weakest from the tribe, the least of the family, you're going to leave none of them alive. It's not going to be, you're going to go win one battle, you're going to get some small success. Things are going to change. And I wonder, have there been points in your life where God starts to call things out of you? God calls things for you to do, and you start having those doubts. I can't do that. That's not in me. That's not who I am. I don't possess those skills, those talents. I can't do that. I can't do what God is asking me to do. And we start going through the logical reasons why. And I get him. Here's the thing. Gideon's not wrong. Gideon is the least of his family. He is from the smallest tribe. All of those things are logically true. But what they leave out is what God's put inside of him. And I think that's where this gap exists of who we see ourselves as and who God knows he created us to be, is we're unable logically to weigh into the equation what we don't know exists. And that's where we have to wrestle with this gap between who God sees us as and who God knows he created us to be. This gap can either be filled with fear and doubt, or it can be filled with faith. When an angel of the Lord shows up and calls him mighty warrior, does he have fear and doubt? Or faith, that's who he can be, because that's who God has created him to be. when you have these doubts that surely I can't be a great father or our mother or husband and wife, or I can't be a great friend, or I can't be in business, or I can't go influence the world around me, I can't go be a leader. Why? Why? Are you saying God can't create people to do that? Are you saying God couldn't put something inside of you to make that happen? Do you doubt that God is able to do that? Is that really the heart of the question? Do you doubt that God is capable of putting that inside of you? That's why I think as we get older, it gets harder. Because we've seen more of our life experience. We've seen more of how we've been. We've seen more of who we've been. And we have more evidence to try to argue against God of, I've not seen that yet out of me, God. I don't think it's in there. But see, when we don't follow God, and we don't step out when he calls us out, and we don't step into what he's calling out of us, and we let this gap of fear and doubt hold us back from who God has created us to be, the sad reality is we will always settle for the most shallow version of ourselves. And that's why it's so heartbreaking for a God who's created you and put things inside of you, plan things in advance for you, and for us to let fear and doubt hold us back from stepping out in faith and going, God, if you're calling me to this, if that's what you're asking for me, I've got some real doubts, I've got some real reasons why this isn't going to work, but if you're calling me to do this, I'm going to believe you've put something there that's going to be able to get this done. I'm going to step out in faith. When you do that, you're not going to settle for the least of who God's created you to be. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about us being a church who's going to be aggressive to pray and to seek God and believe for more, that he's not done, that he's willing and able to move and to work in and through us, because I don't want to see more people live their entire life being the most shallow version of who God created them to be. That's not needed in this world. To be the most shallow version of who God created you to be requires zero effort. You literally can just wake up, breathe, and go back to bed, and you've done it. It's not hard. It's really hard to try to be stepping out in faith and letting God call things out of you, things that make no sense, because you're like, that can't be me. Surely I don't possess that in me. If I get real honest with you guys, I went through this recently. When I was an interim pastor, I genuinely, guys, if I'm honest with you, had severe doubts I could be a senior pastor. If I'm just honest with you. And I hear snickering. I'll take that as a compliment. But seriously, I looked around and I said, I'm 30 years old. I've only been back in ministry a couple years. And before that, when I was in business, I don't know that those traits transfer over. Before that, I was in youth ministry. Before that, that's all I had trained to do was youth ministry. I've only been here a couple years. I don't know that I can be a senior pastor. I've never done that before. And if I'm honest with you, being a senior pastor is just a different ballgame. There's a different weight to it in my mind. There was a different level of responsibility of what I was going to have to answer for before the Lord. I didn't know that it was there. And I had these honest conversations between me and the Lord. I said, God, I just don't know that that's me. I don't know that I see myself as a senior pastor. I see myself as someone who serves you. I want to be faithful. But I don't know that I see myself as that. I sat down and had honest conversations with two of my biggest mentors, Drew and David. I was just honest with them. I said, I don't know that I see myself as a senior pastor. I've never done it before. And I remember what Pastor David, he looked at me and he told me, Philip, every senior pastor's first time of being a senior pastor is their first time. And I looked at him and I thought about the simplicity of that, how stupid I felt, and realized the math checks out. And I realized in life, all of us, the first time we go to do something is our first time doing it. Every time we try to step out and do something different, every time we step out and go, I'm going to try something different or new, it's all of us trying it for the first time. It's us gaining experience. It's us going, maybe God can do something in this, but I've got to be willing to try. And I think as we grow older, and sometimes when we see things not work out or not go our way, or we start learning these things about ourselves, it gets harder to believe something new can happen. And I think that's a disservice to the idea that God has something in us that he's wanting to call out of us. Can you imagine sometimes God puts something inside of you and he knows it's there? And he's just got to see us step out. He wants us to experience it. He's like, I love you enough that I've put something inside of you, and I want you to experience it. I want you to know what I put inside of you. These things that you're going to experience, a deeper level of knowing me when you step into them, and I want you to have it. And we just are struggling with the fear or doubt. And God's like, I know it's there. And the enemy doing his best to tell you, no, it is not. Right now, as you start this new year, has God been beckoning some things inside of you, trying to call some things out of you? And you go, I just don't think it's there. And God's trying to say, I know it's there because I put it there. I mean, we're going to have a vertical fair today with some of the people who lead vertical groups here, and they're going to get to introduce themselves. If you're looking for community, we really encourage you, stop by, meet some of the people who are leading groups. But if you go ask them, your first time you ever led a group, did you have any doubts? Did you think, maybe I can't be a group leader? I'm not the right person for this? Maybe that first time you ever stepped up to be a manager or business owner and you thought, surely I can't probably do this? Maybe when you first went off to high school, I can't do this. You went off to college, I can't do this. You go get your first job, I can't do this. You have your first kid, I can't do this. Well, here you are, and somehow you've done some of it. And I think as we head into this year, it's why I'm so passionate about it. It's why I'm calling us to pray and seek and ask God to do mighty things, because I just have this belief. When you read the Bible, you see God wants to move. God doesn't want to be inactive. Are we willing to step in what he has for us, though? Many times I think we have severe doubts about what we can be for God. And a lot of times it's because of our sin, if we're honest. I've made too many mistakes. God can't use somebody like me. Or maybe people have told us we're not good at stuff. And we eventually just start to accept it. I can't be good at this. I mean, there are some realities to that. I would really like to be on the worship team. But I've heard myself sing enough times where I go, that's not me. I'm going to be honest, I'm praying for a miracle. I'm praying I wake up one day and I'm like, oh, I'm going on American Idol because there's been a change in me. I'm good now. It hasn't happened yet. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you can just wake up one day and go, I'm going to play professional baseball because I think I got it in me. I'm talking about all those things, but I really do believe there's things inside of us that we don't know are there yet because there's fear or doubt holding us back from spiritually growing into them. And I don't want to see people settle for the most shallow version of themselves. I don't want to see you settle for the most shallow version of who God created you to be. And there's these things inside of us that he wants to call out of us. I want us to look at one last verse that we talked about, Ephesians 2, verse 10. I want to keep hammering this home. I want it to sink into our heart and soul and mind, and us start to wrestle with the implications of what it's calling us to. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We believe at this church, you can be a leader. We don't believe this church that the only leaders are the people on our staff or our leadership team or the people that are already serving. We believe every person who gives their life to Jesus Christ has the opportunity to be a leader. 100%. No doubt in my mind. Not because of just our own strength and willpower and ability to do it. It's because when you get saved, Holy Spirit comes in your life to birth in you gifts and talents and fruits of the Spirit to go influence the world around you for the glory of God. And that's you. And so what I ask is right now, if you're following Jesus, Do you see yourself as a leader? Yes or no? No ifs, no buts, no pardon me's, my Lord. If God says, I see you as a leader, what's your response? Yes or no? Who do you see yourself as? Who do you see yourself as? And do you think it lines up with who God knows he created you to be? Or is there possibly a gap that exists? Possibly this gap that fear and doubt try to hold us back, but also an opportunity for us to step out in faith. And it's also why I want us to continue to be a church that's encouraging to speak life into each other. When we see things that God has given other people, that we call it out of them, we encourage them. I see something God has given you. It's why I want us to be an empowering church that gives people opportunities. I'm not the only person in Vertical Church God's called to do something. Stunning revelation. Some of you are like, I got to write that down. Circle that down and come back to that as I nibble on some lunch later today. I believe in every fiber of my being, God has called you for a plan or purpose, like Ephesians 2 talks about. The worship team wants to come back up. I want us to just have a moment where we ask some honest conversations before the Lord. Is there any fear or doubt or anxiety that's holding you back from stepping into some things you know God's calling you to do? I truly believe that God doesn't just save people to be like trophies, and he just puts them in a case. He's like, look at this person. I took care of their sin. Boom. That looks nice. He has people over for dinner, and sometimes he takes us out as a trophy. Look at this person. Really changed them up. I believe God calls us for a plan and purpose that he's created for us. And that's you. Is there any fear or doubt that's holding you back from stepping into some things you know God's just drawing you towards, stepping out into what he's calling you to do? Have you settled for a shallow version of who God has created you to be? And maybe there's this moment where if the answer is yes, you ask, God, will you grant me the faith to step out into these things that you've created me to be, that I don't even know are there yet? But God, I want to be willing. I want to be available. I want to step in everything you have for me. Even if I don't even know what it is, I just want to say, God, if it's in there, call it out of me. If it's in there, use me. If it's in there, let me step out in faith and experience it. God, I don't want to be the most shallow version of myself. I want to be everything you've created me to be. Help me. And then can we be a group of people that encourages one another and challenges one another, that holds each other accountable and says, we're not going to let people settle for the most shallow version of themselves. We want you to be everything that God has prepared in advance for you to be. Because it's going to influence North Georgia. If God calls you and sends you somewhere else, it's going to influence there. We get one shot at this life. One shot at this life. Are we going to settle for some shallow version of ourselves because fear and doubt and anxiety hold us back? Or we take this one shot at this life and go, God, I want to be everything you created me to be. I want to step out into all that you've made me to be, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult. And I want to experience the fullness of who you have made me to be to bring you honor and glory. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask, won't you beckon to us? Won't you speak to us? Won't you call us forth? I pray for anyone that's wrestling with the fear or doubt of trying to figure out, do I really try to step into what God's calling me to be? Speak so clearly to them. Give them the strength and courage. Lord, I pray right now that you'll even reveal right now in the name of Jesus, things that you've put inside of people, Jesus. Father, I pray right now that you'll reveal callings, that you'll reveal purposes, that you'll reveal skills and gifts and talents that you have given to people that they didn't know were there. But you begin speaking to people and calling them out to be everything you know them to be, everything you created them to be. Use us for your honor and glory. Let us experience the fullness of what you have for us and not settle for the shallow versions of ourselves. We thank you that you love us enough to create and put those things in us that we don't even know are there. Grant us the strength and courage to step into all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.